early morning at Code Mesh, and my guest today is Aaron Lurch. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Are you enjoying the show?
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
I enjoyed the lightning talk you gave the other day. You told a great story, which I'm going to just assume is a true story. Is it a true story?
It is a true story, yeah.
It is a true story. And it's about hacking, and it's about stalkers, and it had human drama in it. take us through it.
All right. So I should clarify or put a disclaimer out there that this in no way represents the company I work for, my family. Any association to me is not related to this at all.
Or the country of Colombia.
The country of Colombia. I don't condone the things that I did. except in action, I guess I do. But no, it's not things that I would necessarily recommend.
So what you're hearing is that you did some shady things.
A couple of shady things.
For a good cause.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I called my lightning talk a dip in the dark side for a good cause. Did a few things that normally we would not do, but and I'm not necessarily an ends justify the means kind of guy, but
in this case, I was. That'd be true. So what kicked it off? What was the incident that started it all?
Yeah, so it was an October night. My wife and I were just kind of sitting around on the couch. Kids had been put to bed, stuff like that. And I got a Facebook message from a buddy of mine who I went to school with, and he grew up in and now lives in Colombia. And he was like, dude.
The country of Colombia, South America.
The country of Colombia in Bogota. And he's like, hey, dude, random question. Do you know how to hack into somebody's account? And that's all he said. Boom, period.
Yeah, asking for a friend.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was wrong. He said, do you know anybody who knows how to hack into somebody's account? And I don't know if you've ever read the book Stealing the Network.
I have not.
It's called Stealing the Network. There's a series, How to Own a Continent. And in that book, it's written by a collection of hackers, and it's a fictional story using real technology and real hacking techniques that they weave together, and it's an interesting book. And so it's fun to see in that book, for example, how people apply real hacks that you would read about and know about as a technology, as a developer person, and then they weave that into a story. So I just finished reading that before this.
Oh, so you're in the hacker mindset.
So my mind, and to me, I'm a curious person. I like to debug things and figure out how does this work, and so that's really interesting to me. Yeah. So he said that, and my mind was instantly like, okay, I think I can get a safe house in Texas, which would be near the Mexico border, right? And then I think the farmer supply store has enough thermite materials so I can burn through my hard drives if the feds come in. And I'm like, yeah, I could do this.
You were becoming Jason Bourne in your mind.
Instantly, minus the ability. So I just responded back with like, maybe. Yeah. I might. What's up? Maybe I should find out more. And he messaged me back and said that, he messaged me back and said that his girlfriend had been getting harassed online on Facebook for about 6 months or more, and it was obviously very distraught, very distressing to her, and she was really struggling with it, of course, right, just the normal outcome of that, and they had gone to the authorities in Bogota, and they didn't really know what to do. They weren't able to help her much. And so I asked him, are you able to block this person, do the normal, have you done the normal, just so if somebody's harassing you, especially on Facebook, you can exclude them from your life.
Right.
And he said that she hadn't, because this person knew things like her sister's nickname, the interior of her bedroom he could describe, or he had described her in some fashion.
Wow.
So this was not just a cyber stalker, like a weird creep out there. This was like a weird creep who was not out there, who was like in her life in some way.
Right.
Right. So she was terrified of doing something that would piss him off more, and then antagonize him, and then maybe bring about some repercussions in her own life. Right. So that, of course, I was like, okay. I was like, I might know somebody. Let me see what I can do.
He wants to find out who this person is.
Exactly.
Anonymous person.
Yeah. The point is, they wanted to hack an account. They just wanted to do whatever they could do to find out who this is, to bring some resolution,
to take some action after that.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, I'll take the job. Right. That I get to do things that I find interesting. In my mind, instantly, I was like, man, I'm gonna get to do stuff I find interesting, stuff that I would not do, but I can connect it to a reason. So there's white hat hacking and black hat hacking, right? Sure. White hat is penetration testing, bug bounties, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And black hat is all those things, but without permission. And, yes. and usually they associate it with the intent to steal and claim and hold ransom or, you know, right. take. So gray hat hacking is
That's
right
what
in
you
the
were.
Middle. So what I began to plan out was what one might consider gray hat, which is sort of like what the intent of white hat with the tools and methodologies of black hat. So I don't have
they all involve
the same tools and methodologies. Mm-hmm. I didn't have permission to do any of it, so that instantly puts it in black hat category. Mm-hmm. But it had the intent of white hat. Right. I was not intending to steal or do anything like that. So
how'd you go about this?
Yeah, so the first thing I did was reconnaissance. So this is really a story about William, right? So William 353 was the
that was
my target. William 353
was
my target.
That was the stalker, though.
That was the stalker. Yeah, it was his. He had a fake Facebook account that had been going for about 3 years, so it had been a long time thing that he'd been running. He had a girlfriend on Facebook, which looked legitimate, right? Mm. It was all the normal connections. It was hers looked like a legitimate account. Mm. He had posted pictures of her, but they were all pictures that she had taken that were selfies, so it was a little suspect. Mm. So anyway, reconnaissance was the first thing. So I began to look through his account, figure out what could I find out and know about him, which was obviously nothing. And so the next thing I decided I need to do was to begin doing some method acting and to become a 20-year-old Colombian woman.
Ah.
Yeah. And it's like I say, I broke one of the fundamental social contracts of the internet that day, which is I was the first person to break one of those fundamental social contracts. No one has ever impersonated a 20-year-old woman online before. And I did it, and I thought, no one's ever gone there, but I need to go there. So
who was the football player that got engaged to a 20-year-old woman online?
No, I don't remember.
Was her name Elena? Notre Dame player that got had a relationship, got engaged.
And she was a lie, right? She didn't exist?
She was a lie. It was a friend or a cousin that had made it up. And,
yeah, I remember that. That was not
– He was a good football player. I'll just say that.
Yeah, right. I do recall that. And that was not, I was not.
So you were the first, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Not by a long shot. I think probably the internet was invented. And then on the second day, somebody impersonated a 20-year-old woman online. So I created this persona of Elena. Actually, the first thing I did was I convinced my wife that I needed to go find pictures, that the reason I needed to go look up pictures of hot 20-year-old Colombian women in my Google searches was for science.
I would like to have heard that conversation.
it was an interesting one, yeah, to say the least. So after a while of explaining what I was doing, she was
on board with it.
She eventually said, you know what, whatever, I don't even know. and as we know, that means go for it.
Whatever, that's basically full support.
Yeah. When I explain to my wife, here's what I want to do, and she's like, you know what, whatever. That's a blank check. Let's just go for it.
Sounds like you really understand women really well. Okay.
I should now that I've been happily married for 16 years, so it still continues even
Elena.
In spite of this.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
All right. So I created Elena. I got enough content that I could. So my biggest, actually the thing that I was trying to overcome with this was twofold, right? I needed to get to know William more to find out who he was. But more than that, I needed to evade the fraud detection mechanisms built into Facebook and other tools that I would need to use because, you know,
if they discover that you're not really a 20-year-old woman, they'll suspend your account.
Yeah, exactly. So there's data scientists and other people out there that are doing analysis of data to prevent people like me from doing what I was trying to do. So I had that in my mind as I was doing this. And part of the reason was because I knew that unlike other times where I might be, wow, that sounded really bad. Unlike other situations where I or others might be trying something just to see what happens. And if I run into a wall or my account, I'm not doing this in any other context, but if my account got shut down, so what? I learned that's what happened. But in this case, I kind of had one shot with William is what I felt like, right?
Yeah.
If I was going to approach him and get to know him better in some capacity to learn who he was, if I raised a red flag with him, then
the next effort would he would fall for it.
Exactly. I felt like I had just one shot. So I was being pretty careful with how I did a lot of stuff. So I created, you know, fake accounts for Elena, and I began to chat with William. So I friended all of his friends and kind of made it look like so when I approached him, it would, at least as far as somebody who's a novice using Facebook would see, oh, I'm, you know, this person is clearly in my network or whatever you want to call it. So I began to chat with William, and I learned nothing about him from that as well. So he was pretty good at the staying anonymous and hiding himself. But in chatting with him, he clearly had a vice, which was why he was doing any of the things he was doing with this fake account.
Which was he wanted to meet random women.
I don't even know how to explain it. Yeah, he wanted to meet random people. He wanted to share pictures with them, stuff like that. And so from that, then I decided that the best attack vector for him to be able to learn more would be to hack into his account and try to hope that, for example, his Facebook account credentials were the same as his email credentials. Turns out they were, because he's stupid.
That's two vices.
That's right. He is what they would call a normal human being on the internet, right? Use the same password for everything.
Kids don't do that.
Yeah, no. Use LastPass or something else. Right, so I decided that a phishing attack would be my best bet. The first thing I did was I ran out and I bought a burner phone, because I've always wanted to have a burner phone. Yeah, I don't even know if I needed a burner phone.
So a burner phone, just a phone that they can't trace back to you. You buy it at Kmart.
It's a pay-as-you-go. You pay cash for it. You get a number. You can call and text. Pay-as-you-go. And then when you're done with it, the idea is that you chuck it, smash it, burn it, whatever, and it's done. Yeah, temporary phone. So I bought a burner phone. So I went to the bank, got some cash. I was debating, should I go to Target out of state? Like, so in my mind, right, I'm thinking this how to own the continent book, and I'm thinking, man, if I go to my local Target and buy a prepaid Visa gift card and I use that to buy other things online, they can track that number back to the point of origin of where it was purchased, and then they'll know that it was near me, and then they'll correlate. And then I realized that was, while plausible, the things that I was planning to do, a targeted phishing attack on one person in Colombia, is not likely to warrant that kind of follow-up.
So I like the thought process. You're becoming Walter White, I think.
So I
who didn't have the skills of Jason Bourne?
Walter White?
Well, the Breaking Bad.
Yeah. He didn't have this. Yeah, right, exactly.
He did have a burner phone.
He did? That's a show that I got to catch up on. Right, so I went and I bought a Visa gift card and a burner phone just at my local Target. And then I created a – so he was clearly interested in pictures and stuff like that. So I registered the domain with my Visa gift card. I registered the domain fotosprivados.com. It's private photos. I don't speak Spanish. So every time I chatted with him, by the way, I would send my buddy a message and say, hey, how do I say, you know, like, I'm super bored. Do you want to have fun tonight? Or whatever a 20-year-old – I kind of would say, like, what would a 20-year-old girl say? Because I have no idea.
Did your buddy know why you wanted to know those, to translate that?
Sometimes I didn't tell him, but he would usually figure it out. I'd say, how do you say this in Spanish? And he would actually tell me, like, and here's how a person would misspell it, you know, who. So it wasn't like a Google Translate. He gave me the legit, here's how you would see it online. So I looked more legit, I hope. So I went out and registered the domain. I knew the other thing I needed to do was to set up. I knew that if I was going to start logging in with if this worked and if I got his credentials and I was going to start logging in as him, I knew that I needed to circumvent the fraud detection of the various like he had a Hotmail account. So Hotmail, I knew that he had a Hotmail account because of the Facebook. I clicked, I forgot my password and it says an email will be sent to A...Z@hotmail.com or whatever. Okay. So I knew he had a Hotmail account, right? and I knew that if he logged in from Bogota and then the next login was from the Indiana Midwest region.
Oh, that's a red flag.
Yeah, then they would red flag that instantly. And I'm grateful that they do for when people do that to me.
Right.
but I did not want to. I did not want that to happen. So I started looking for a server in Bogota to try to get as close to him as I could, so that I could get an IP address one
and log in. You were wrote into the other server and then log in from there.
That's the idea. Okay. Yeah, all the servers in Bogota were basically send us an email and contact our sales, and then we'll get you spun up in our data center, which obviously was no good for me since I'm Elena and not Aaron, and I didn't want to take the time. I didn't want to wait like 2 weeks to hear from their sales. Like, I didn't even want to go there. Mm. But AWS has a region in Sao Paulo, which is in Brazil, which I thought, I guess I took a risk. I was like, I'll hope that that's close enough, or close-ish enough, at least more so than where I'm at now, so it's worth a shot. So I got to use my burner phone, because to sign up for an AWS account, they send you a text message to confirm you're a real person. And so I got my text message.
That's the only time you use your burner phone?
Set my phone on fire after that. Threw it away. Technically, it's actually still in my office at home.
Yeah, because you got to go drive to the desert to throw it away.
That's right. Again, to my whole neuroses of who's going to follow this all the way through, I was thinking, man, I'm using my burner phone. I didn't even want to turn it on in my house, because then it would be from a cell tower nearby. I was like, should I drive somewhere else to turn on this phone?
Of course you should.
Yeah. I
should drive to Sandusky.
Yeah, that's right. I'd have a good cover, right? Could be one of 2,000 people. You never know. So I turned it on because whatever.
Got my text. The story's out now.
Right, yeah, at this point, yeah, by now it's fine. I've destroyed all the evidence now anyway, so. So I turned on the phone, got the text message, signed up for an AWS account, spun up an EC2 instance, and from that moment on, I SSH tunneled all my traffic through that EC2 instance. So I could do everything on my local machine, and all my traffic funneled through out into Sao Paulo and then back out from there. Mm. So I didn't even need to remote anywhere else. You can set up SSH tunneling very easily like that. So I had a website with three pages on it, a landing page to make it look like a legitimate website for hosting private photos, which I'm going to spin off into a startup.
It was like sexy women on your website. Is the
that was – I made the website – That was advertising. I was trying to minimize the – minimize the amount of time I spend on it. So as a developer what I do for a living is I work at a company that we help people start new things. So I'm always thinking whenever I'm starting a new thing, like, for example, this fake site, I'm thinking through things like what should the landing page be like? And I had to kind of force myself out of my default mode of the marketing side and the what needs to be on this thing. So all that to say, the website was as bare bones as possible. Uh-huh. And it was all about, we host your photos. It was just, we host your private photos, whatever that is. So, like I said, I'm going to spin that off into a separate company now and run that.
Pictures of Elena.
Yeah. Well, no, you could post whatever picture you want to be private.
She was the first customer.
She was the first customer. She was my beta tester. Yeah. So the website was built specifically for her as my beta tester.
Okay.
So it had a landing page, a login with Facebook button that popped up, the Facebook login. But it was really a duplicate of the Facebook login. Okay. So it was exactly the same.
He's going to type it in and you'll know his password.
Yeah, so my hope was, right, that he's not thinking this through, that he's motivated on the honeypot target that he would get to, and then he's just going to, you know, whatever, type in my Facebook login and then continue on. And then, so no matter what you typed in, it was, you know, you've successfully logged in, and then it went to Elena's page of her pictures that she wanted him to see. Uh-huh. So I had that out there. And I had my ability to tunnel in and access his systems as him. And on that site, by the way, I also captured, for every page hit, I logged to a database just because that was the easiest thing for me to access out on Heroku, which is where I threw this app. Every header and every request, I logged the IP and every header that came in. And then additionally, if it was that fake login request, then I also obviously threw in the credentials too.
Right.
So I had two Heroku data snips. If you've ever used their built-in Postgres database function, you can define some data snips, which are basically just predefined queries that you can share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had one that just selected out the unique set of IP addresses that had accessed the site since a certain day, so that I could just keep monitoring who knew who had more recently accessed the site from an IP address perspective. And then the second one was who has submitted credentials, and obviously that was the one I was interested in.
Right.
So I had all this in place now, ready. I'm ready to approach William and to kind of set that fishing hook out there. And what I did was I forgot to turn off my SSH tunnel and I went to go log into Facebook as Elena, but I hadn't been using the SSH tunnel for just for the other systems like Facebook and my fake email and stuff like that. So Facebook flagged me as being fake because I had an access from the Midwest, and then the next one was from Sao Paulo region.
Oh, no.
And so now I find myself needing to verify my identity to Facebook to unlock my account. And Elena had 300 friends at this point because I friended as many people as I could who were friends with William. And so Facebook is saying, it's no problem. Just here's three pictures of people, none of which were their face because of the kinds of people that William friends, right? So here's three pictures of your friends. Just who are they? And you're good. And so I was like, oh, God, should have written that down. I actually kept detailed notes through this whole process, by the way, because in a recon effort, you know, you're just every piece of information is important because you never know what you're going to find out that later you might go back and say, you know what, that actually is a tangent I can take to try to another attack vector or another approach to find something out. So I kept a lot of notes, but I didn't keep notes around who Elena was friends with. The other option was to submit a government ID and then they would unlock it.
Which you didn't have for this.
I'm obviously not Elena, nor am I Colombian. But my buddy is from Colombia and has a Colombian ID. So I messaged him and I was like, hey, dude, just send me your ID, please. Your government ID. Just, it's going to be cool. Don't worry about it. We're good. Just send that to me. Yeah, it's legit. Don't worry about it. You know? And so obviously he was a little concerned about that, but he understood and he sent it to me. And so I photoshopped that, put Elena's picture on it, changed the information on the card. Facebook lets you cover up. It says it's okay to cover up sensitive information. So I covered up the sensitive information to mean that I had less to Photoshop.
Right.
Printed that out, took a picture of it so that it looked even more legit,
right.
And sent that into Facebook.
And they bought it?
Well, I started looking online after that, so then I wait, right? So then it's a waiting game. And as I'm waiting, I'm researching other people who got locked out of Facebook, and I find out that there's many businesses and individuals who had been locked out for a year or more.
Ouch.
And yeah, and that there was basically, it was not going to happen that I was going to get back in, which was a big bummer because I had set up all of that. Like, I was ready to send him the link to my website. That's all I needed to do. So I had done all this work. So I decided to make a play for on his stupidity and create. I thought, what would I do if it happened to me as a person? I would create a second Facebook account and just be like, oh, my first one's locked. This is me now. That's not me. Here I am. So I did that. I created a new account for Elena, friended a few more people that I had friended before. And
William bought it?
Yeah, so then I finally messaged him and said, hey, you know, in Spanish, in whatever broken Spanish my friend was helping me with, my account got locked for some reason, but, you know, it's still me, and I enjoyed chatting, and let's keep chatting. And he's like, hey, cool. What that told me was I'm doing a lot more work than I probably needed to do to to fish this guy.
Because he's dumb.
He's dumb. I was still having fun, but it was a lot more work than was needed, I think.
I wonder if William ever see this video. That'd be funny.
Yeah, I guess he might. So, you know what? Can you just put the black bar over my face and change my voice?
Okay.
Yeah. After the fact?
Electronic changing your voice.
Edit this thing? Yeah, if you don't mind. You're making me nervous now. So, where was I? So I created the second account, and then he bought it. So I sent him, so we chatted up. I was like, hey, remember those pictures? I said I had a site coming soon that I was putting some private pictures on. It's there. It's ready. Go out there and check it out. And then became the second waiting game. The first one was waiting for my account to get unlocked from Facebook, which they ended up unlocking like 3 weeks later. So, yeah, they did. They bought my ID, I guess.
That's a little bit troubling, but yeah.
Yeah.
Photoshopped it is, right? ID.
Yeah, it was either I have good Photoshop skills, I don't, or it was easy. So then I just waited. So it became a waiting game. And every day, twice a day, morning and evening, I'm checking my data snips. Did what IP addresses hit the site? What credentials did I get? And nothing. I'm getting a lot of IP addresses because my IP address was a recycled one, which happens a lot with platforms as a service companies.
Oh, okay.
Even just Amazon's Elastic IPs, for example, are all
somebody's trying to get recycled to their payroll server, and they end up with this
Yeah, you know, it was...
Photosite.
That's right. Well, hopefully... I didn't think about that. A lot of them were originating from Russia or China. So, yeah, I don't know what the previous sites were, but I wonder what they saw. No one tried to log in, though. So a lot of hits, but no actual attempts to log in. Yeah. So whatever was happening, I'm assuming it was scanning networks, right? People scanning IPs and
port, could be that.
Not port
could
scanning because like it was all 80, but...
Could be like a web crawler or something like that.
Exactly. So anyway, suddenly one day, about a week later, no login, so I was still super disappointed, right? I'm thinking, this guy's an idiot, of course he's
so you got a hit from Colombia.
I got an IP address from Colombia. Yeah, no credentials, but somebody hit the website from Colombia that resolved to an address in Bogota. Uh-huh. And again, the IP geolocation lookup stuff, the addresses are going to be
fuzzy.
They're going to be fuzzy. Okay, so again, in my mind, as I'm thinking through a phishing attack, or actually not even a phishing attack, but just possible attack vectors on William to discover who he is. So now I have an IP address that could be him, could be not. And, you know, if he's at an internet cafe or something, it's obviously not going to be his machine. It's going to be the router that's in between. So I begin to look into the IP address and just sort of see what I can find about it, do some port scanning and other stuff. And it turns out that it exposed a website on port 80, and it was the administrative interface. Was it port 80? I don't remember what port it was, but it was the administrative interface to the residential-grade router, which is what it was, a Wi-Fi router. Hmm. And finding that manual, I'd go online, find the manual for that router. The manual includes the default username and password that it ships with. Sure enough, whoever installed this never changed them, so now I have the administrative interface. I own that router because I'm logged in as the administrator on it.
Okay, and this was a router in the guy's house?
I couldn't tell. Okay. So I started looking through things like what are the connected endpoints, right? Like when a machine connects to a router, you know, in your home router, you go to it and it lists out, here's all the devices that have connected.
Okay.
And most of them will have a friendly name associated with them. Hmm. And so there was a couple of named things, like somebody had named their computer, like, you know, Aaron PC or whatever. Right. It would have been like that. Looked like a couple Android devices. None of the names rang a bell. And so my buddy, I'm like, hey, do you know these names? Do these sound familiar? Nothing sounded familiar. and nothing looked too suspect there, but it was very interesting, right? That's an interesting data point.
Yeah.
And the router itself supported syslog, which is a standard logging format, logging technique. And it supported remote syslog. So there's a service out there called PaperTrail, which is a log aggregation service. You can just throw syslog logs at it from anywhere. So I signed up for a fake PaperTrail account, and I configured this router to dump all of its logs over to PaperTrail. I never had to touch the router again, except to go back out of it again, you know, and put everything back the way it was. Mm. So then I could just go to PaperTrail and look at these logs. I could set up filters and searches and stuff like that.
So you were seeing the sites that were being, the websites that he was hitting?
Yeah, it was usage of the router, so I could kind of see what was happening on that router. And it turns out that I really got nothing from that. Mm. But that was kind of an interesting, like, I'm going to set this up, again, to the point of when you're collecting this information, you just take every tangent you can take.
Right.
Everything you can grab, you grab. You don't know if you're going to need it or not. So I collected that stuff. And since I didn't end up needing it, I disabled the PaperTrail account, put the router back the way it was. Mm. I should have changed their username and password to keep them more secure so that they couldn't even get in. But anyway, long story short, I'm still waiting, right? So that's the one IP address that hit. And I'm still waiting, and a week goes by, and 2 weeks go by, and nothing. And so William normally would come online twice a week, once or twice a week, mm-hmm. not very frequent. But
were you still chatting with him during this time?
No, I had heard nothing, right? So nothing from him, nothing on my site, and I'm thinking, that's it. I've screwed this up, and he's not going to do it. And then one day I got a Facebook message, and it just said something like, "Hey, baby, you're gorgeous. And what happened to your tattoo?" Because when I had done my initial content collection for Elena's Facebook profile, I hadn't collected enough information to be able to provide stuff that would hook William more deeply, I guess. And because I actually wanted to make this a thing where if he logged in, I wanted him to think that he accomplished his goal, because I didn't want him to run away, right? I didn't want him to get to a website and then think, this is clearly not right, and then realize what I was doing. So I had to convince my wife that there was more for science things I needed to find. And I had found the person I had used to build my Elena profile didn't have additional stuff. I'd used all her stuff for the Facebook stuff. So I had to go find other things, other people that looked close to Elena so that I could get more content. I can't think of a nice way to say it. It's dirty work.
All I can say is it sounds like your wife is a saint.
She is.
Just going to throw that out there. Never met her, but she sounds like a keeper.
I did all of this. I love my wife so much. I did all, and she's a freaking saint. I did all this sitting on the couch right next to her after the kids were in bed so that she could make. So I was like, listen, I'm going to be totally transparent. This is exactly what I'm doing. You are going to see everything that I'm doing. I did not want there to be any hint of like anything that she could think in her mind like, does your friend in Colombia really exist? What is this? Are you William?
That would be a good plot twist when they make a movie out of this.
It would be a good plot twist, but based on what he did, I wouldn't want to be that guy. Okay, so obviously I couldn't find somebody that had the same freaking tattoo as Elena had. And so he's like, where's your tattoo? Which I found hilarious that he noticed that and didn't. And just asked, but was cool with it. Like, oh, yeah, that's new. Those pictures that are on my site are older. The end. So then I just run over to my Heroku data snip, and there it is, Mamacita 2001. And
his password?
His username. Yeah, that's his password, Mamacita 2001. And I was like, yes.
That's a win right there.
Yes. I was so excited, especially after 2 weeks of silence.
Now you can log into his Facebook account.
So now I set up my tunnel again, and I log into Facebook. And again, at every step, I'm making sure that I'm not marking things on red by accident. You know, I don't want to leave.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure that he's an idiot and he wouldn't notice. But to be safe, I'm doing all of the due diligence of making sure that I don't leave any traces if I can. I go into Facebook's, last access, and I delete the session of, like, this was last access from Chrome and a Sao Paulo IP address. That's gone.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you can go in and manage your connections in Facebook, and you can see I have an iPhone connection from here, an Android connection. Where these sessions were created and when they were last accessed.
Wow.
And you can, so if you lose your phone, you can go into Facebook and say, kill my iOS session. And then even if they got your phone and logged into it, they couldn't get into your Facebook account. Which is interesting. I actually now build that into systems that I build. I build in session management at that level if it involves a mobile app, especially.
You learn practical knowledge from this thing.
Oh yeah, awesome. Yeah. So there's a lot of good takeaways there. Right. The things that I was doing are the things that I want to prevent people from doing as well. Okay. So I'm in his Facebook, and from that I can see what his email address is, and I'm in his email address, and then I'm into his email account because again, same username same password across the board. So now we still don't know exactly who he is, though, because it was a fake email account, and he'd never really shared, my name is Joe or whatever, and here's my address and stuff like that. But he had emailed sensitive information, sensitive pictures and things like that from his work email to his private...
His Mamacita thing.
Yeah. So we knew his work email. He did not have the same password on his work email. So
they probably made him change it every month.
Exactly. So I couldn't get into that, but at least we knew where he worked. So when we found out more about who he was, so now we know where he works. it turns out, by looking through his email, that he had been stalking three women. My friend's girlfriend was one of them for about a year.
Wow.
Collecting pictures of them, either that they'd posted online. I don't think he had been taking pictures, but he'd just been collecting information about them. He'd been emailing sensitive pictures of himself to other people. Yeah.
You can't unsee that.
I don't know who he is, but I know what he looks like from the neck down. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that one I did not look at with my wife near me. I was like, no, you're going to – you don't need to see that. He actually also did have – so there was one picture where he emailed a picture of from his work email that included – it was him and some buddies or something, and so we could see who he was. So we could see his picture. So now we know
his face.
So now we have his face. Still no idea who he is, though.
Oh. Well, did you send to your buddy to see if he recognized him?
Yeah, actually, so to make sure that we got into these accounts fully without causing too many problems, I was still nervous about my Sao Paulo access, and I needed my buddy to access it, but he wasn't at the place where he could do the SSH tunneling and that kind of stuff. So he actually went to a pub on the other side of town, into the corner, turned his laptop away from everybody else, and we did a screen sharing session so that I could be online and with him in case he needed some support of, like, hey, this thing just happened, what do I do? And then he logged into the guy's accounts, and he poked around and collected, he downloaded a lot of stuff to capture, like, evidence and things like that. Mm. So he actually did all that, and I just sort of watched him and just was there as support. Mm. So, yeah, so we had about as much as we could get from this guy based on what we had available. And the next step was either to start to try to get into his work email more, like to do more to get further. Mm-hmm. But we felt like at that point we had a picture of him. We had some information about what his activities. And so my buddy said, you know what, I'm going to take this to my girlfriend and I'm going to see if she or her family know anything. And then I didn't hear back for a while, and I was busy with stuff. But I left all my accounts open, you know, just because we didn't know if we were done with William or not. And a week later, I messaged my buddy, and I'm like, hey, so, you know, did you talk to your girlfriend? What's up? He's like, oh, yeah. So turns out it's her cousin's husband. That's who the guy was.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like, oh, man. Like, it was a mixture of feelings, right? On the one hand, we got him. We know who this guy is. That was huge because... I mean, for my friend's girlfriend, can you imagine, like, the amount of closure that would bring of, like, the fear can go away now, at least in the sense that I know who it is,
right?
It's not anonymous anymore. There might still be some fear of, like, due to the close relationship, that would be kind of terrifying. But, and then I was just thrilled that we pulled this thing off. We actually figured it out.
Yeah.
It worked. And so then I was like, okay, so you're going to take it to the authorities, you know, like, what's the next step? And he's like, well, it's complicated, relationally and otherwise, so yeah, my girlfriend's mom and grandma, they're just gonna handle it. at which point,
I don't know if I actually know
my Colombian girlfriend's mom and grandma are gonna just handle
it. I don't know if I actually know any Colombians personally, but it just seems like Colombian grandmas, it just sounds really badass. So I think that's
when a grandma's like, I'm gonna handle this situation. Yeah. I don't know, any culture, like, that's worse. Take me to the authorities, like, just I'm ready, take me in now. Like, no, I don't want that. I once took my kids to a wedding, and there was a grandma there, and she's like, you need to put a hat on your kid, or they're going to catch a cold. And I was like, I had no idea who this person was. And I'm like, I will put a hat on my kid.
Done. Two hats.
Exactly. I don't have a kid anymore. It's gone. So he's like, they're going to handle it. So I just backed away. I said, are we good? And he's like, we're good. So I then deleted all my accounts, cleaned everything up.
That is awesome.
And I left it there.
That's a great story. I love that story.
I don't know what happened to him.
How long ago was this?
This was about a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are they still together?
My buddy and his girlfriend? Yeah. No, they actually broke up not too long ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, that was awesome. Thanks a lot.
All right.
You have an online presence?
I'm on Twitter, Aaron Lurch.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
On Twitter.
Check him out.
Yeah, cool.
Thanks a lot.
Bye. It's nice when we can use technology to help our friends.